Your point, your platform. The Frank Mitchell phone-in for you.
Let me speak to Roger Pollan, who is from the Federation of Small Businesses. Roger, good morning.
Good morning.
When you hear the analysis there from the listener, Andy, it doesn't really matter what speed we do in the city centre because no one's going to be keeping an eye on it.
Well, I think go upstream from that one more step and then say, if that's the case, what was the need to bring in the scheme? I think where is the evidence of the problem for which this is the solution? And I think that's probably symptomatic of all of these things. You know, there's no real evidence of a problem, but somebody has decided that this would be a good thing to do, and they've spent presumably quite a lot of money at a very tight time in our budget cycle to start implementing regulations and signage and all the rest of it to achieve something that was already being achieved simply by traffic congestion.
The idea, of course, is to try and eradicate traffic congestion and to get the cars out of Belfast city centre.
Oh, you see, there are two different things there. One is to eradicate traffic congestion. Yes, everybody could agree to that. But to get cars out of the city centre is a different issue and a different objective. Now, if that is the case, then I think we need to be honest about that and say, what are we going to do for the 100,000 people that come into Belfast every day from rural areas who can't use public transport because it's not good enough? It's simply not on to try and force them out of the city centre before you provide an alternative that they could use.
Well, we spoke to a representative from Traffic NI last week about this issue, and the idea is to promote Belfast city centre for pedestrians and cyclists.
Well, how are pedestrians going to get into the city?
They would probably park at the likes of Carrie Duff or Saintfield Road or wherever that is up the way. There's some name for it. And there's a park and ride facility. There's another one out at the likes of Sprucefield and places like that. As you can tell, my park and ride information isn't right on the tip of my tongue. But apparently there are park and ride facilities, and you go there with your car and then you get on a bus, and then you get the advantage of the bus lane and you whiz the whole way down into Belfast city centre. You do your shopping and you whiz back up the bus lane and you get into your car at some outlying village, town or suburb.
Well, that's a lovely utopian theory that you set out there, but the reality is that people are coming in. I actually tried it myself when I was coming in for an interview in radio to see could I get from my house to the radio station by public transport in time for that interview. No, wasn't possible. It's simply not available. So therefore, you've got to say, okay, we've got to get the public transport system working much, much better so as people choose it rather than being simply forced off their own one.
But are they not trying to do that? Is this, and I've used this analogy so many times, is this not the eggs being broken to make the fabulous omelette?
Well, it would be lovely if that were the case and if that were proved to be the case. But if it were, why would they choose this one to do as the first step of that when, by everybody's admission, traffic wasn't going faster than 20 miles per hour in the city centre in any case? So I think that we're being given a lot of different reasons for why this has been done. There's the road safety one, which is that if somebody is hit by a car, and I heard, I think it was Roy Gordon on last week, saying that if somebody was hit by a car at 20 miles an hour, there's a significantly greater chance of survival than if they were hit at 30 miles an hour. That is true, and that's fine. But then that's not the same thing as saying that this is being done to reduce cars in the city centre.
So how is it going to impact on small business? And I have to be careful that I don't sound like as if I'm just totally agreeing with you, but I've said this on the programme before. If I was running a business in the town, I would get the feeling that less people were going to come to the city. I have also had conversations with people who have now decided that they're not going to come to Belfast city centre because of bus lanes and because of a 20 mile an hour speed zone and the price of parking. They may have been tossing a coin on out of town shopping or Belfast city centre. They're now definitely going out of town.
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of evidence around to support this. You've got to look at the rates revaluation that was carried out recently, and we saw that the rates in lots of city centre shops had dropped dramatically. Why? And therefore, that was being held up as a great result from the rates review and was going to encourage more retailers to come into the city. One of the reasons the rates have dropped is actually because the shops aren't as valuable. Why aren't they as valuable? It's because people are turning away from Belfast as a city centre shopping destination and looking to alternatives around that are more accessible. So, you know, we've got to look at these things in the round and say, what can we do to actually make Belfast work better? And I think the idea of trying to just keep people out and make it more and more difficult for them to come into the city centre is not the way to go. We've actually got to make the city centre work better. And then you've got to look at the issue as well. This seems to be running now 24 hours a day. So what about those times of the day when there's no traffic pressure and yet there are deliveries being done and those delivery drivers are being forced to go at 20 miles an hour for what purpose?
5 years from now, Roger, 10 years at a stretch, we could play this tape back to you and you could say, Mr. Gordon, well done, Traffic NI, well done. This is an incredibly smooth city we now have. It's booming, it's pedestrianised, people are cycling, they're coming in on public transport, they are shopping hand over fist. We may look back and say those people with the foresight were incredibly bright and intelligent people.
If that happens, I'll be the first to raise a glass to them and to commend them for it. And it's not an impossible dream, but it's not going to be achieved by this measure alone. You've really got to plan and put in proper public transport systems to enable people to have a choice and to choose to go on to those rather than simply making the other side of the equation unacceptable and so unattractive.
But are they not
that people
doing
turn
that?
From it.
Are they not doing that with those bus lanes coming in from the west and the east and Titanic? Is there not a situation where there's three or four massive pieces in this jigsaw and when they all interlock, it's going to be a better city?
I'm yet to be convinced of that, and I think our members are yet to be convinced of that. We see sections of bus lane running for a couple of hundred metres and then being back to two-lane traffic. And what you're finding there is you're creating pinch points that actually just back up traffic and don't make it any better for the buses. And I think all of that fuels the suspicion that this is really about trying to make the city unattractive to cars rather than trying to make the city really work for everybody through the provision of very effective public transport.
Okay, Roger, good speaking to you. Thanks for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Get involved with the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Call us on 90 333 105. Text us on 077 66 105 105. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. And if you've missed any of our interviews, go to u105.com/catch-up.